It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do we believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. Shout out going out here, man. All people that think like this, or all people that kind of consider that they might think like this, or just kind of like understanding that this is Bill Mash's pet peeve of the day. And it's called, oh, the United States is a socialist society now, and we're becoming more socialist. You get your insert three-letter word there out here. And you spend some time on the streets and you actually get out here with these people and you figure out how much our society is really helping these people. And then you go to your little Webster dictionary or maybe Wikipedia and figure out what socialism is all about. Socialism is all about making sure that everyone has something. And you don't see homelessness. You don't see the type of stuff I see out here in a socialist society. So the next time you hear the word socialism, remember, it's not socialism. It's called empathy and love. And pointing a finger at someone and turning away because it's socialism is evil. Guillermo Mash here, welcoming you to the May 20th edition, the Without a Roof radio program. On KZFR 90.1 FM, your community radio station serving the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The clip you just heard was the audio portion of an August 2012 video, Without a Roof, produced after my first night cowboy camping the river bottoms off the Feather River Bridge in Yuba City. It was filmed while I was walking the river bottoms roughly a month after a July 2012 fire, which all the locals knew was an act of arson to drive the houseless out of the area to make way for development. The smell of charred wood and ash still hung in the air amidst encampments with charred belongings. It was a cold, callous sight filled with grief. Weeks later, I was told it was too dangerous to pursue telling a story about the fire. To be continued. Today's program is all about mutual aid and the programs and assistance provided by the Chico Homeless Encampment Outreach Team. It includes passionate and angry pleas from residents sheltering in place at the Horseshoe Pit in Lower Bidwell Park, who were given a 24-hour verbal eviction notice to vacate the area for 5 days. The main segment today is a broadcast of a shareable.net audio story on local and national mutual aid efforts. No better way to kick this off than someone I've known since I've been in Chico. Got here in November 2012, met Mama Rose within a few weeks here on People Power Radio. I'm Ash here for KZFR. I'm here with Mama Rose at Project Room Key, and she had some wonderful words around mutual aid and why it took so long to be neighborly. Welcome to KZFR, Mama Rose. Give us some points.
Hello, how you doing? I just want to understand why it takes us to have a bad thing to happen before people realize the good that it...
You know what I thought was kind of cool in between watching the video? She kind of took a break. Mama Rose, there's three of her neighbors out here, you know, and she's like, I want to get them burritos. So she took some time to get burritos, and she gave Jay some burritos. And Jay dropped off a bunch of recyclables. you know, to kind of contribute to the Sunday dinners and everyone's efforts. That's mutual aid, isn't it?
Yeah, but I do it because I think good is should be always. I don't do it because, you know, fire, the disease thing. I just wish other people, well, they're doing it now, but what happened if they would have been there before all this? You know, I just, they always say, it takes something bad to bring people together. I want to see people doing the same exact thing what they're doing right now, if not a little more.
And what are those things they're doing right now, Mama Rose?
Well, there's people feeding, like right now, believe it or not, I'm in a motel. I can't believe it. And they're actually looking for a place, helping us try to find a place to get into, you know. If we would have had this just what happened, we wouldn't be there. We'd still be out there underneath something, and nobody cares, you know.
Yeah, and I know your story well. I think it was about 4 years ago, you know. You got an eviction notice and your husband dies and you lost your IHSS money all in one fell swoop. And
I had no income at all.
You had no income at all. So zero income. Your husband died. That was your income, right?
Besides why I'm recycling, you know, and that takes care of my people, my family, and that took care of me.
And you've been out on the streets. Was I right with 4 years? Has it been that long?
I think it's been five. It was 2015, I think. Yeah, we didn't bury him until 2016, or cremate, yeah. So, yeah, it's been that long.
Mama Rose, I think this will be the perfect ending comment, because for all the radio shows I've done with Without a Roof, I have a theme song, and you're in it. Little theme, it says, I wish people could be poor just for 1 week, and they'll know what it's like. 1 week. Well, how would they know what it's like? Tell us what it's like.
What it's like to be poor. Hey, you're not poor, really, because you have this. You know what I'm saying? Your heart. I'm more of a wholesome person than people that do have money. You know what I mean? Money can't hug you. I don't mind being poor. I don't. In fact, doing what I do, I stay poor. I don't want to be rich. I just want to be in four walls. That's my fear, is dying alone. Dying on the street. That scares the hell out of me.
Want a roof over your head, huh?
Yes, I do. That's all I want.
How's things going with the case management? Because you said they've been housing some folks, and you've got a case manager, right?
Yes, and she's been doing what she's got to do. I won't rent a room from somebody, because I've done that twice, and I love people, but I became the house mom, you know, and I'll do everything in the world, but I just want something that's mine. I do. I'll take a doghouse, too.
You're your own master. Mama Rose, thanks for being on KZFR.
Thank you. I mean, you're welcome.
I'm here with Roy at Windchime Park. Roy is a veteran, just as I am. I'm Navy 7882. Maybe you can introduce yourself real quick, Roy, and tell us your dates of service.
Hi, my name is Roy. My dates of service were 1986 through 92. I served in Desert Shield and Desert Storm. I was injured, and I'm still alive. So I'm here taking advantage of the outreach program right now in the park, and they've got a lot of wonderful things that they're doing for people. So
what are some of those things, Roy?
Well, they're starting out with tents, and then I don't know the full details, but I believe after about 30 days they'll try to be getting you into a place or get you on home and set you up in a place.
Speaking of which, you're in a wheelchair, and you know, what's your situation, sir, just so our listeners know?
I slowly became paralyzed. I was paralyzed from the neck down. Mm-hmm. And they had to do surgery on my neck, so yeah. I put titanium rods in there. But over the period of time, it's just, it was deterioration. So and I've got massive swelling on.
I see that. It's like almost like a baseball-sized swelling on your elbow. That must hurt.
No, it don't hurt, actually. It's I got a doctor in Sacramento. She's supposed to be, I'm supposed to go back down and see her, and she's going to set me up with some medication to get rid of this.
Long time resident? How long have you been in Chico?
Most of my life. Lived a little bit in Oroville, and that's about it.
What's your favorite swimming hole?
Well, 1 mile, 5 mile.
1 mile, 5 mile. That's a good one. You know, to kind of end this short little interview with Roy here at Windchime, you just got a message from my friend Addison that you're going to be going into a hotel room. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, excellent. Couldn't feel any better in my life. Yeah, it's a good program.
Here's some words of hope. I ask a lot of people, you got some words for hope, Roy, as we end this?
Yeah, if there's anybody out there that's struggling, whether they got kids or not, or whether they're just don't feel like they can make it, then, you know, if you look up the outreach program on your internet or your phone even, you can take advantage of some of the opportunities they have out there, and it really does help out a lot of people. Coronavirus is going around, and we're trying to get everybody out of the street and out of the sickness, keep them safe and happy. That's about it.
So I'm here with Kelly. I was saying, you know, I'm really happy that Kelly and her friend Roy are indoors, but I said I know two people that are happier, you and Roy. So welcome to your hotel room here for Project Room Key.
I'm so excited. I lost for words. I prayed to God and it came through.
So you had talked about what your situation was currently and you know, how you were just robbed, right? Do you want to share that with our listeners or not?
Yes, while I was living outside, I was robbed and beat up, and I'm all bruised up, and I'm happy to be indoors. Mm-hmm. Thank God, that's all.
How long have you been waiting on the wait list here?
Only, less than 2 weeks. Probably a week and a half.
So I heard Roy say he's got first dibs on the shower. Yep. Yeah, Roy, you going to get right on in the shower?
Yeah. I had to claim dibs on it.
I know with the pandemic, sanitation's been tough. When's the last time you had a shower?
It's been since I was homeless. Don't count the days, no. It's been over a month. But I've had worse. I've been in the desert, so that was probably 8 weeks out there in the desert with no shower, no water, nothing out there. Staying healthy is an important part of my life anyway, too. So I do what I can to stay as clean and safe as I can.
Of course, being in a hotel room would be a big up from living on the street as far as staying clean and safe. What do you think, Roy?
I think that's true. You know, everywhere you go, there's bad people and there's good people, but hopefully we can turn that around and make bad people into good people.
So you guys TV watchers, what are you going to watch? You got a favorite program?
SpongeBob.
I love SpongeBob. I do. My kids grew up with SpongeBob. You a SpongeBob fan too, Kelly?
Yes.
Eh?
I am.
Got two SpongeBob fans here at Project Room Key. Give us some hope. I've been getting some really nice comments from people. Hope. You got a message for hope, Kelly?
I don't know. Just pray to God and it'll probably come through, happen.
The Without a Roof radio program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Mount Shasta Spring Water Company, serving the community for over two decades with natural spring water bottled at the base of Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta Spring Water is available for home and office delivery at 1-800-922-6227. Without a Roof, also made possible by the Ark Store in Chico, putting a green philosophy towards a worthy cause. The Ark Store offers gently used clothing, furniture, antiques, and collectibles. Shopping at an Ark Store and donating gently used items helps Ark provide support for families with developmental disabilities. The Ark Store is located at 2020 Park Avenue in Chico. More information at thearkstore.org. All right, Mama Rose and Roy and Kelly were housed in hotel rooms through the Project Room Key initiative. That's a state-funded program that's really taken hold here in Butte County, and they've sheltered well over 100 immune-compromised and elderly folks that are homeless on the streets of Chico. Next up is that shareable.net audio story on mutual aid here in Chico and beyond, here on People Power Radio.
We're in Chico, California, in the Barber neighborhood at the southern end of town. And those definitely aren't coyotes or wolves that you're hearing. Those are people, and well, maybe a few dogs joining in. It's hard to tell. Pretty much every night since we've been on coronavirus lockdown, people all across the country have been coming out on their patios and porches and front lawns at 8 o'clock in the evening to just howl. It's a fun and goofy little thing to do, but it's also more than that. It's a ritual, gesture, however small, to challenge the loneliness and isolation of quarantine. Just like with washing your hands and wearing a face mask, little community rituals like this offer us a certain kind of protection, reminding us that we're not alone. That although the streets look empty, other people are still out there. Thank you. But people here in Chico are doing far more than just howling on their porches. Many are going out into the abandoned corners of the city, the homeless encampments or low-income housing communities, to check up on their neighbors and share what they can. Because just like in many other cities, there are entire communities here that have fallen through the cracks. Cracks which have only widened and deepened during this pandemic. In this episode of The Response, we take a deep dive into the work being done by the Chico chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA. Their mutual aid work in response to the coronavirus pandemic is just a microcosm of the whole country, from major cities to rural communities where DSA and other similar organizations have been stepping in to fill many of the gaps left by the local, state, and federal response.
I'm going to throw some onions and potatoes. Do we have any more little cards with avocado toast?
We do.
Let's give them each one of those, too.
Yeah.
My name is David. I work with DSA and North Valley Mutual Aid as a volunteer.
We're at Chico DSA's Mutual Aid Distribution Headquarters, the location of which they requested we keep private due to the backlash they faced from some members of the community. Roughly 30 volunteers like David have prepared and delivered hundreds of grocery bags over the last few weeks, which they've been distributing to vulnerable communities in the area. Today's delivery is actually going to Oroville, a small town about 20 minutes outside of Chico.
Oroville is an economically depressed area. There are a lot of houseless people down there. There are a lot of people that are in need of help during this. And unfortunately, it's also a relatively conservative area. Most of the community outreach that happens on Facebook, and it's very gated. It's sort of people who know people take care of themselves. And so there are large sectors of the community that are just sort of ignored.
The destination today is an old hotel on Bird Street.
Oroville has several hotels that are essentially housing for people with cognitive disabilities, recovering addicts. They are among the poorest of the poor when it comes to being able to provide themselves and being able to offer them groceries and just basic commodities to keep them from having to go out and risk their life and limb is really helpful to them. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, hello.
I bring unto you your groceries.
Awesome.
Jenny hasn't been staying at Bird Street for that long. She's from Reno, but left a few months ago to get away from a severe domestic violence situation. She's also been fostering a baby while she's been here.
Find you diapers, find you sanitary wipes, and then just some random stuff, some groceries and stuff. Is Tony still around?
Bird Street is pretty run down, and the rooms are packed tightly together. It's not an easy place to live. There are a lot of disturbances, and the cops get called all the time. Jenny's room is full of boxes. She's packing up, getting ready to move a few hours north of here, where she knows some people and might be able to provide a better environment for her foster child, Michaela.
Baby goo.
How are you holding up?
I'm holding up, but I'm going to leave baby and I next weekend.
Okay. Well, let us know where you go so we can keep bringing you stuff.
I don't want to put baby in an environment here.
I don't blame you. It's a pretty difficult environment.
David's been delivering groceries to Bird Street for about 6 weeks. And he's made roughly 25 deliveries during that time. He actually lives just down the street, and he's gotten to know the people here pretty well, building connections that go beyond just the delivery of groceries. When residents in neighboring rooms heard his voice, they all came out to say hi, as Jenny updated him on the latest developments with Michaela.
And now, guess what? She's walking.
Is she?
Oh, I'm serious.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble now.
She's taking like one or two steps.
Aww.
And then she looks at me and then she'll give me a hug and I say, I'm Nana. So.
Well, Nana, I'll be right back.
So.
There are thousands of volunteers like David doing similar work across the country. Organizations like Mutual Aid Disaster Relief, Grassroots Aid Project, and Disability Justice Culture Club are just a few other examples. But here in Chico, a lot of the organizing is being done by North Valley Mutual Aid and DSA.
My name is Kari Logan. I moved to Chico a year and a half ago and was trying to get into DSA stuff as a way to make new friends in a new place.
When she's not working as a school teacher, Kari runs dispatch at DSA headquarters.
I've done a couple of the deliveries, not a whole lot, but every now and then I'll do one if no one's available. But usually I'll do dispatch or I'll be the one at headquarters to make sure that everybody's available to get their stuff bleached down and making sure that everybody follows sanitation protocols. And I do what we call dispatch, which is essentially reaching out to our participants, the people who are getting the deliveries. And I say our volunteer has been dispatched and they're on their way to get your items. And I keep in contact between our volunteers and that participant and let them know if there's any item that we can't find at the grocery store or if we can substitute a cheaper brand or something. If there's any kind of issue, they can find the off brand instead of specifically Marie Callender's. Marie Callender's is one that comes up a lot in the grocery lists.
For deliveries to low-income folks, DSA does provide subsidy bags. They're able to cover the cost with donations they receive from raising money on GoFundMe. These are what David took out to Bird Street. But they don't have enough funding to do this in every instance. So when recipients can afford it, which is often the case for deliveries to the elderly or immunocompromised folks who aren't low income, they ask that they pay for their own groceries. In these cases, volunteers get the shopping list and go out and buy the groceries and then make the deliveries.
The way it works is we take their list and then ask them how they would prefer to reimburse their volunteer for the cost of the groceries, and they can pay with cash or check, and if they do that, they have to put their money in a little Ziploc bag that we can kind of leave in a different spot and let it air out for a little bit. Or we have little card readers, and so we sanitize the card, pass over the little thing, and they swipe it, and then we sanitize it, and it's a whole little process that we have. But the best way is the most complicated way for our elderly friends is getting them to set up Venmo or PayPal, and that's quite a process. They do not like doing that. But that is the easiest and safest way for us to get reimbursed.
So DSA stands for Democratic Socialists of America. It's a nationwide community organizing organization.
This is Zoe. She's been working with DSA in Chico for about 3 months.
People understand the organization to be democratic socialists, but the way that we have it locally, at least, there's a lot of breadth to the ideologies that are involved. We have communists, socialists, anarchists, a lot of different people all involved under this big tent organizing group. And I think that works really well, especially in small towns like Chico, because there kind of isn't anyone else politically organizing. So you can bring in those disparate elements of the left and have them work together under this one framework.
DSA is the largest socialist organization to exist in the United States in over a century, with roots going all the way back to the Socialist Party of America, which formed in 1901. Their membership numbers have exploded in the last decade, with thousands of new members joining the organization after Bernie Sanders ended his 2016 and 2020 presidential campaigns. Their long-term goals could be summarized as the abolition of capitalism and the realization of socialism for a more free, democratic, and humane society. They don't run candidates, but do focus some of their energy on political reforms. Many of their chapters have been consistently involved with mutual aid efforts, and because they've been organized for so long, moving into coronavirus response evolved pretty organically.
So the mutual aid stuff, it was kind of weird the way it happened. We were all just kind of sitting around talking about the pandemic. This was a week before the lockdown started, or maybe even less than a week before the lockdown started. And we were just talking about what we can do to be prepared for what's coming, what's going on. And one of the people actually suggested that his grandpa, I think, was immune compromised and needed someone to go out and bring groceries to him. And that kind of snowballed into a wider idea of we could do exactly that, just go out and bring people their groceries and prescriptions and whatnot.
Since then, volunteers have been meeting up every morning to coordinate the day's deliveries. It's about helping people, but it's also solidly situated within a framework informed by a deeper set of values.
I grew up very religious, and my church community always had volunteer stuff to do, but it always felt kind of dirty and performative, and I wanted to find a group that wasn't like that to volunteer with. I knew that DSA had that, and so that was one of the reasons that I was drawn towards DSA, because the mutual aid, I love the idea of, you know, you're not looking down on someone and saying, here, let me pull you up. You're just like, no, we're already on the same ground. I'm going to help you so that you can help me later, or because you've already helped me. It feels more neighborly, more friendly, more the way that we're supposed to live our lives. And it doesn't feel like there's some need to prove that you're a good person. It's just, I'm doing this because I want to, and I feel like it's the right thing to do.
There's this understanding of like there being like a social safety net that the United States has. And I think something that COVID-19 is really proving is that not only is the existing safety net decrepit, it's falling apart all over the place, but also there are lots of places where the safety net isn't actually there for anyone. I mean, very specifically with the people that were told to shelter in place, but are like low income, they can't go out, they can't afford delivery services, that kind of stuff. Like, cause those can get pretty expensive pretty fast, that there just really wasn't a solution. So from our perspective, showing up and doing mutual aid for those folks actually provides sort of a social safety net that is outside of the government organization to make sure that those people are not getting left behind. Not letting people get left behind is kind of the core idea behind mutual aid, because it can create solidarity that we're all in this together, that we're not just going to leave the people that aren't as convenient to take care of behind, because that's kind of what capitalism says we should do, that we're actually going to try to create systems that allow those people to survive despite what's going on in the larger society.
And hey, how you guys doing? Hello, I'm doing well. How are you?
I've been busy.
Yeah? We brought you some food here, Sean.
Right on.
We're at Comanche Creek Greenway, a park located at the southern tip of Chico.
Here's one. Some water bottles.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And is there anything else that we can bring you or anything?
Maybe like a sleeping bag and maybe a tent.
We're out here today with Alex, another DSA volunteer. Comanche Creek is a place where houseless people encamp, and DSA is providing service in partnership with True North Housing Alliance and Safe Space, a low-barrier emergency shelter in Chico.
Thank you so much, Sean. What we do is we hand out meals, which are supposed to be breakfast and lunch, out to houseless folks so that they can help shelter in place. Because honestly, that is one of the biggest needs within the houseless community. And if it's not fulfilled, then they can't help shelter in place and stay in place, really. So we provide both food, some water. We also provide tents, as well as some other, you know, various things to help people stay in place. So we've also handed out masks as well as hand sanitizer. And the whole concept is to mutually aid each other. There has been some political groups here in the local Chico community who have taken pictures of trash around this area as well and have posted it online as a rationalization for why houseless people shouldn't be allowed to encamp anywhere because they leave a bunch of piles of trash around. But when it really comes down to it, if you give them the means and the service of trash service and trash pickup, they're perfectly willing to keep their homes clean, which is their encampments, which is their tents. And so we provide trash bags. We come in every week for a cleanup, and it's mutually aiding each other, because if they keep their, you know, encampments clean, it helps people stay healthy as well. And we also provide them the means to do so, because they would love to keep their homes clean, but it's very hard to when they don't have access to a car and the dump is about a few miles away and on a highway. So that's what we kind of do out here.
Like many places in the U.S., Chico has a growing houseless population. Affordable housing has been an issue in many California cities for a while, and here in Chico, it's only gotten worse. Many people displaced by the campfire in 2018 have landed here, often forced to live on the streets or in places like Comanche Creek. In March, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued guidelines instructing cities that they should stop clearing houseless encampments in order to reduce the community spread of COVID-19. According to the CDC, clearing encampments can cause people to disperse throughout the community, which increases the potential for disease spread. Ending encampment sweeps has been a focus of the housing and houseless justice community for quite some time, and is certainly not a new problem. But it's especially dangerous in a pandemic, and many cities across the U.S. are still conducting sweeps. And it's not always just the official authorities.
There are often target teams and other teams that come out and help sweep encampments away. They bring in cleanup groups who are often here, and they look down on people here and throw out the trash that they see, but that's actually their belongings. That's the stuff that they have. Those are often right-wing groups who believe that handing out this stuff is considered enabling. They come in here and they sweep people out. They don't allow people to encamp here and give them 48-hour notices to just clear out of the area. And so people are not necessarily able to just stay in one space. And so if you clear out these people, you know, they're not allowed to actually settle down and have, you know, what I'd consider a home. They're not allowed to, you know, really identify with the space and think of it as something that they should probably keep clean, or, you know, it doesn't give them the option to really be outside of a home, or, you know, as we consider it, like a house.
Do you need my credentials to where people just think I'm some lazy motherfucker trying to get out of work by being homeless?
This is Jonathan.
Because I am not that. I had a badass job in Atlanta, Georgia. My daughter was killed in a car accident.
Okay.
She's buried right down there. And there's no excuse, but that's why I'm here. I did this to myself. I put myself in this position. I went through a big depression. I don't know if people lose their daughter. She was 12 and a half, though. It's not... I can't say what age is, whatever, but, you know, that was my little girl. Everyone called her Little John, even, you know, to that extreme.
Jonathan is staying in one of the encampments here at Comanche Creek. Everyone here knows him, and the DSA folks have gotten to know him pretty well, too.
I'm here because I put myself here. It's not a bad place. Chico's always had a little bit of a homeless problem, but Chico has one thing that's always the bad thing about this place is its police departments. And I'm not trying to get the cops to come kick my ass or anything, because they've done that. It's like, check yourselves, you know, be human. You know, be human. That's all anybody's ever asked.
Dealing with hostility coming from parts of the outside community is a lot to handle, in addition to the many other challenges of being unhoused. The work being done by DSA to deliver supplies and solidarity out here isn't a solution, but it does make a difference.
I just want to get along and survive, man. Right now with this virus, I mean, people need to open their eyes. Let's not hate each other. Let's pull together as a team. Thank God you guys found the hardest thing they could get behind. This is hard, representing us. It's got to be. People look down on you for probably helping us. And these guys, I don't know where they're getting the food from. I don't care if they're stealing it. But they bring it out, cook meals. Some of it's actually pretty good. It really is. But, you know, it's a godsend.
It's been making a difference for you, the support?
Yes. Right here, mainly for me. But the food is, that's huge. But me, I needed some faces. I need some smiles, because I smile. I like smiling people. That's what I need. Cool as hell, man.
At the same time as they've been working to support folks living in the encampments with their basic needs, Chico DSA has also been involved with something called Project Room Key. Last month, California Governor Gavin Newsom authorized the commandeering of motel rooms for use by elderly or immunocompromised houseless individuals during the pandemic. DSA, along with North Valley Mutual Aid, the Jesus Center, Safe Space, the Torres Shelter, and True North Housing Alliance, have been working to lease and manage hotel rooms in the area as part of this statewide project.
the shelter in place order is put out, and it's sort of this like ask or this demand that people are staying in one place and are not going out to public and stuff. You want people on the street to just deny the existence because you don't have a place to shelter in place.
This is Addison, another volunteer and organizer with Chico DSA.
So we know that they make these asks of people, but they don't really have, like physically, the resources or the services available to take care of people. So this is us filling in the gaps in some respect. And it was particularly, we're thinking about elderly people in affordable housing that we know can't afford delivery service. We know they can't go to the grocery store now. So we know that there's like a basic need that's just like a gap right there. And we can offer to fill that because we have some capacity to coordinate volunteers, I guess, effectively, as just a socialist group that is regularly in contact and used to things like that. And there's that much of just like, we want to take care of people because we don't, I guess we believe that you have to insist that people don't fall through the cracks. And if you let that slide, then we'll never have any faith in each other. We'll never be able to guarantee just the basic existence for all working people, which includes us. A lot of us are being laid off, have been laid off, and that there's going to be no security for anybody. So it's sort of holding down moral principles that we're not getting from our government, we're not getting from the business owners, we're not getting from the landlords, and covering that. On the other side, it's like, if operating on these principles, like, you know, horizontal organization, we're not anybody's bosses, but we're all collaborating to make sure that people are taken care of. It's a little seed of an alternative, something that can grow up and grow up. We're hoping that in this sort of rapid response work that we're setting up in these networks can turn into permanent institutions, which sort of change the expectation that people are just going to starve because they don't have money. When if we're able to start providing food for people in camps, sheltering in place, because we recognize that people having food is a public health matter that's important to everybody, then we can continue to provide those sort of things. We can have at-cost meals for people, and we can make Chico a place for people without a lot of money, without satisfying any boss or any landlord, that people are still able to have a dignified life here.
Or, I was going to grab some out of it. Well, yeah, take a box.
Yeah, I'm going to grab one of the new ones.
We're back at Chico DSA's headquarters, where Addison and Zoe are preparing deliveries for the day and sorting through a bunch of food donations that have been coming in.
Yeah, so I've seen like 3 boxes open that way. We have snacks for volunteers because snacks is praxis, and potatoes because we found potatoes were scarce and then we're able to acquire like 150 pounds of them. Grapefruits were just donations that came out off trees here. We have hand soap, and we really have to ration the hand sanitizer, unfortunately. But we want to make sure that all the delivery volunteers always have hand sanitizer on them, because your health outside is as important as your health inside, so that you're the least at risk that you can be. Gloves and toilet paper, baby wipes, we were able to acquire some. Those have been scarce elsewhere. And we have some masks for us, not enough to be distributing, unfortunately, but just to cover our volunteers. And avocados, because we all deserve bread, but avocados too.
There's actually a whole philosophy about the avocados. It's related to DSA's logo, an image of a rose, the meaning of which Addison explained to us.
So back in 1912 in Lawrence, Massachusetts, there were women in nearly every textile mill in a textile town of like 60 different nationalities, all went on strike. It was actually, the situation was they had this estate law required them to cut hours a little bit, and they cut pay with that. And people were already like starved there. Like, life expectancy was like in the 40s, I think like a third of people growing up there were dead before the age of 25, and it was just miserable conditions. And they did strike, and sort of the bread and roses aspect comes in, where they were told that, like, you should get back to work. It's like, you're already paid enough to survive, you know? It's like, what are you complaining about? So it comes from a poem. Some women carried the banner that said, we want bread, but we want roses too. And it sort of symbolizes that, like, a little bit above of the normal, that we can say that we all deserve to live, but even if we are living, like, we still have demands to be made.
In addition to supplies and smiles, Chico DSA is also sharing information with people. They've been working on literature to give out while on deliveries. This is where the avocados come in.
So we were just working on this little sheet explaining the bread and roses strike of 1912. It's just like, back in 1912, like, let us tell you a little history here. We're also giving out avocados because we particularly did outreach to the senior-only affordable housing, subsidized housing and mobile home parks. And they give us a lot of like really modest shopping lists sometimes. And we figure like they get their bread and they get their milk, but like we all deserve bread, but avocados too. So we're gonna put in a little recipe for avocado toast. And there's gonna be an explanation of the strike. and sort of what that means, and that, like, you know, bread and roses, but also it's in this case avocados, because everybody kind of deserves to have a little luxury, even as we're kind of trapped in this time. Ready?
Yes.
Yeah, go.
Using easily accessible tools like spreadsheets and cell phones, Chico DSA's Mutual Aid Initiative has already benefited hundreds of people. And in many ways, their work is just getting started. They plan to expand and deepen their efforts to address some of the root causes of the issues and injustices highlighted by this pandemic. And they're not doing it alone. They've collaborated with organizations like From the Ground Up and the Butte County Local Food Network to get fresh produce for their deliveries, and with the Chico Housing Action Team for the encampment cleanups. Even though all these projects have been a response to COVID-19, DSA doesn't want their work to end there. Their intention is to seed permanent institutions well into the future, and hopefully for the community to see beyond their socialist label and recognize what they're doing is something we can and should do for each other, not just in the hard times, but in all times. This episode of The Response was written and produced by Robert Raymond and was executive produced and hosted by me, Tom Llewellyn. Additional contributions came from Neil Gorenflo and Courtney Pancrat. The graphic art created for this episode by Kane Lynch was inspired by photos taken by Brittany White. The music included Honey Thighs by Strong Boy, Mercury by Ada Leah, and Hospital Sports by Pele. We would also like to thank Addison and Alex for help with information gathering and fact-checking, all the other volunteers at Chico DSA, and those who are living at Bird Street and the Comanche Creek Greenway for letting us into their homes. The Response is a project of Shareable, a nonprofit media outlet, action network, and consultancy promoting people-powered solutions for the common good. Visit shareable.net to find our full coverage of the People's COVID-19 Response. If you enjoyed the show, we would really appreciate it if you would share it with two other people. We rely heavily on word-of-mouth promotion and need your help to grow our listenership. Support for the project has been provided by the Threshold, Shift, Gorilla, Cliff Bar Family, and Abundant Earth Foundations. Shareable sponsors including Tapalti, My Turn, and Near Me, and tax-deductible donations from listeners like you. This episode of The Response was produced in collaboration with Upstream Podcast. You can check out all of their documentaries at upstreampodcast.org. Please get in touch with us by sending an email to theresponse@shareable.net with any questions, comments, or story ideas. We're also available to speak at your virtual conference, webinar, or other event. Thanks for listening.
Without a Roof radio programs made possible generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Om Foods, with Whole Foods, organic, non-GMO, and dairy-free menu. Open 12 noon to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Our full menu is at iloveomfoods.com. For pickup orders only, social distancing required. Orders will be on the tables with your name on them. Please wait outside till your order is ready. Om Foods thanks you for keeping the community safe. Details 530-965-5263. Also by the Chico News and Review. Due to the impact of the coronavirus, publication of the Chico News and Review will be suspended until the crisis is over. The Chico News and Review is an independent news outlet with donations accepted at newsreview.com/Sacramento/donate. I'm here with Danny, man. Someone I've gotten to know really, really well. And he told me the story and started tearing up. So I said, Danny, let's get this on the radio. Welcome back on KZFR, Danny.
How are you doing?
Good. Tell us a little bit about the outreach we did. I know I was here at the beginning of it. You had a really bad, gnarly hole in one of your trike tires. And Aaron O'Neill, man, who goes out with me every Wednesday doing burritos with the Poor People's Campaign. Tell us how we helped you out.
Well, Aaron's a guy that I just met, and he's really, really nice. I didn't expect him to do what happened. But last week I had a flat tire on my bicycle, and I fixed it up and put some slime on it and took off riding to patch the tire on my bike, and I fixed the bike tire about four blocks away. I realized the bike tire was sealed, but then all of a sudden I realized I had a flat on my trailer at the same time. And then I had problems trying to find a 20-inch tire and tube. And the man we just mentioned.
Yeah, Aaron, he came, he got your rim. Take it from there.
And he came and got my rim, you're right. And he actually took it with him to the bike shop and bought me a brand new tube and tire, had the bike shop put it on and brought it back. And we, that day, during the middle of the day when they were still working on my bike tire at the bike shop, he actually came here and talked to me and told me it'd be a little while longer and brought me lunch for me and two of my friends to have lunch that day. And I owe him a lot, and I hope to see him soon and say hi, and maybe we can play a game of horseshoes or something with him.
I go out every Wednesday with Aaron. We'll go out tomorrow. We do burritos. That's what he brought, was burritos, right?
Yeah, that's correct. You guys did have burritos that day. Yeah. And I thank you very much, and tell him congratulations. He's got one of his new best friends, me.
There you go. I was telling Danny, you know, how Mutual Aid is being neighborly, looking out for one another. Maybe one day Danny needs a burrito. Maybe the next day someone needs a tire, and you guys just help one another. Maybe kind of elaborate on what you see out here and the people that are living without a roof, and what kind of mutual aid you see on a day-to-day basis, Danny.
Well, I see quite a bit of it myself. I mean, a lot of people out here try to be nice to each other. I mean, there is a few in between, just like a bad apple here and there, but most of us are trying to change things and show you guys the better side of us, and a lot of us are out here because we made bad choices, and a lot of us need a little help to find our way back home. Yeah.
By my observation, though, it's just, you know, there's so little and so many folks out here. Like right now, I'm looking around the Horseshoe Pit. I can see easily four or five encampments. But I'm sure it happens, maybe not on a daily basis. Maybe you need something and your campmate goes, hey, sure, here you go.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit. Or sometimes, like, you will be hurting for something and you don't have it, but a lot of people step up and help you out. Yeah. And if they can help you, you gotta look at them and pay it forward. And if they can't help you, you can't get mad. You gotta step back and realize there's a reason why, and maybe down the road later on, a couple days later or something, they can help you.
They call it being neighborly.
That's right.
Neighborly help. All right, Danny, thanks again.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody.
So I'm here at what's commonly referred to the Horseshoe Pit down here at Lower Bidwell near 1 Mile. And I'm here with someone I've known since the beginning of the pandemic. I think you were one of the first people I gave a burrito to. This is Thomas. Welcome back to KZFR, Thomas.
How you doing? Glad to be back. Thank you.
Kind of a little late-breaking thing here. You know, we're kind of down here doing outreach. And so far, since the 6 weeks, 7 weeks since it was codified not to move people, the police, they've honored that. But I'm hearing here from Thomas. They just came through and told him that a bunch of them need to leave the Horseshoe Pit by tomorrow, because they've got a celebration going on here and they don't want you folks around. Is that a good summation? And what else is going on, Larry?
That's what I get out of it, because, I mean, I heard them say, you know, they come by today, we got till tomorrow to get out, but we can come back in 5 days because they have a celebration that they're going to do in the park. And, you know, we're just an eyesore. But where am I supposed to go for 5 days?
Now, were you physically there when the ranger came through?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in my tent.
So you were actually in your tent and you were told you had a day to move.
They didn't tell me directly because I didn't open my tent.
Yeah, but they told
my neighbors, yeah, we're supposed to move, have everything cleaned up and gone by tomorrow morning.
How many tents does that affect? How many campers?
Probably about 8 to 10 that, you know, we've been here. It's been fine up until now, but with Memorial Day weekend coming up, they don't want us around here no more. I don't know. I kind of take that as what the hell's wrong with people? There's no humanity or nothing. Nobody else. He even says in the Bible, take care of thy brother and sister. If I'm not mistaken, I could be. I don't know. It's frustrating.
I hear you, Thomas. Well, I'll be covering the story. I might try to come back down here tomorrow and see what's going on. Were they going to come by first thing in the morning with bullhorns like they did like a couple of months ago?
Yep, more than likely, because they'll park right by your tent, kick on the bullhorn and tell you to get out or whatever and threaten you, but I'm not going to go nowhere. I think I'm going to just sit right here. Because if nobody else has to move, why do I have to move? That's like telling somebody, okay, we're going to use your front yard to have a picnic here, but you're not invited. And it's just, something's wrong with the city council. It's not right.
Well, yeah, you could blame the city council because, I mean, they do run the government, but this is a police decision. And it appears to be contrary to state law, as I understand it, they have to give 48 hours notice and it has to be written. And it was codified saying people that are in encampments can shelter in place through the pandemic in parks and greenways. And they gave some directives around that. There wasn't any directive of going, unless we have a celebration and we don't really feel like looking at these people. You know, that's how I'm reading it.
So this eviction that Thomas is alluding to and other folks that you're going to hear from took us all, when I say all, I was there with the homeless encampment outreach coordinator, Addison Winslow, and Umwa, and we weren't given any notice about this. And the police and the homeless, Chico homeless solutions coordinator had already been out there, you know, telling these folks that, you know, there's some sort of quote unquote maintenance they do every year at Lower Bidwell in that Horseshoe Pit area that required them to get in there and do a whole bunch of work. And everyone needed to move. A couple of things about this story that are somewhat disturbing. And that's just, you know, if they'd follow the state law, as I understand it, I'm sitting here, you know, researching it at this moment, they got to give a 48-hour written notice. It would have been really nice if they'd written a notice saying folks need to leave and why they need to leave. Because what you'll see is classic what happens on the streets. You know, Addison actually made some phone calls to you know, get some clarification on why the directive had come down. And, you know, obviously you just heard from Thomas that thought, and Larry, you're going to hear from Larry, that thought people were kicking him out of there because they didn't want to look at him. Which, you know, it's, if you're in their situation and other folks, it's not a bad assumption to be making. Anyway, I just hope that the city can do a better due diligence around this and, you know, maybe change your maintenance plans. You know, what happened last Memorial Day weekend maybe doesn't need to happen during a pandemic. More of a quote-unquote real-time update. I was there last night, Tuesday night, giving burritos, and everyone was still there. And I was back there in the morning with Aaron O'Neill giving out burritos. And nearly everyone was there. Everyone that was still there said no one has made the move. So I think a couple of people moved on their own. So as it stands at this moment, folks are still sheltering in place in the Horseshoe Pit area of Lower Bidwell Park. Now back to the interviews at Horseshoe Pit here on People Power Radio.
This is Guillermo. What's your first name, sir? And maybe, you know, what the situation is being told to move once again down here in the Horseshoe Pit just before the Memorial Day weekend.
My name's Chris Walter, and I've been homeless since I was 16 years old out here. Not by choice, but just can't get a job. And every time I find a spot to be, cops come and tell me I have to move, and I'm tired of moving. I'm 65 years old this September. I've been out here since I was 16 years old. I got my first job delivering newspapers in Oroville and got hit by a drunk driver in a coma 8 months. And I have never got any compensation from nobody, no Social Security disability. The only thing I can live on is the cans I pick up out here every night. And I'm just tired of moving.
So what's your plans? I mean, they're going to come through here tomorrow. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go? What are you thinking? Are you going
to
do?
I don't want to cause any trouble, so I'll go to Comanche Creek. But I'm not going to move from there. Once I get there, I'm not going to keep moving all over goddamn town.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I've had to be doing around here. Mm-hmm. I've been here in Chico for 9 years now. I'm from Oroville, but there's nothing to do in Oroville.
So, nothing to do in Oroville.
I came over here because there's stuff to do here in Oroville or Chico.
What is this place?
And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I got a stimulus check sitting in the post office, but I can't get it because I don't have an ID. Got to wait for the DMV to open up to get an ID. So.
Any idea when that's going to be?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. But I think they'll only keep it for so long and then they'll send it back. So I'm going to get screwed out of that money. Because I could use it.
We could all use money. I tell people, Larry, next time sometimes people are homeless by choice, ask them why only poor people make that choice.
Right?
Right.
I didn't make the choice. I just put here.
Hey, one quick thing, Larry. You know, we're doing a show Wednesday about mutual aid, which is being neighborly. You know, someone needs a food, you give them some food. Someone needs help with the bike. Someone needs help putting trash in the truck. By my observation, I think one of the strongest communities of people doing mutual aid are those houseless folks, people without a roof, people that are destitute, relying on each other in the camp next door, the camp that you're in. What would you have to say to that, Larry?
Yeah, we do have a pretty tight-knit group. Take care of each other, but we have to because nobody else is going to, you know? So So, I mean, I was just brought up that if somebody needs help, help them, no matter what. So,
maybe you take a second and think about a mutual aid, a recent one where neighborly being neighborly, that for our radio listeners.
there's too many of them. Can't really. Well, yeah, I can. My pants, actually. When it rained, I got wet. And all my clothes got wet, and I needed a pair of pants, and somebody gave me a pair of pants. So I got pants. I'm not walking around in my chonies.
There you go, mutual aid. Mm-hmm. Any closing comments, Larry?
Just be good to each other. Don't judge anybody, unless you be judged yourself. And I don't know, where's the love?
All right, Gamma Mesh here for the KZFR Without a Roof radio program. If you like the show, I hope you have. I really do. Go on out, kzfr.org. Hit tip this show. Going to end with a little bit of bang. I say bang because I like gratitude. I like people recognizing other people and calling people out for good things. And going to have a quick little testimonial from Chico Vice Mayor Alex Brown and homeless czar, so to speak, Paul Bowden, man. Love Paul Bowden. And he's the executive director of Western Regional Advocacy Project. They've got some wonderful words to say around everyone doing mutual aid here in Chico, within the state of California, and beyond. And until next week, if you have a roof, be grateful.
This is Alex Brown. I'm the vice mayor of the city of Chico, and I just wanted to express my gratitude and my thanks for the real people, the individuals who have stepped up to share their skills and to share their neighborliness with the Chico community and the North Valley. A few that I just want to make a mention of: North Valley Mutual Aid, the Chico Democratic Socialists of America, and Butte Environmental Council, as well as several just individuals who wanted to help have stepped up to provide meals to people who don't have access to food, to do grocery shopping for people who are vulnerable to COVID-19, to provide cleanup services and materials to make sure that our parks and our greenways and our waterways stay clean during the stay-at-home and shelter-in-place order, and just to make connections with folks who need it the most at this time. So grateful, and just want to say keep up the good work and thanks for your contribution.
Paul Bowden, Executive Director, Western Regional Advocacy Project. There are really good people out there, and when stuff hits the fan, as they say, some of the best just put down their whatever they're doing and respond to being a part of a broader and bigger community than just themselves. And we've seen it in all 11 of the cities that RAP gets to work in and be a part of. And we play a very small role. I'm talking about people that are out there building hand wash stations, putting in porta potties, giving out tents, feeding people, medics that are out there, people doing needle exchange stuff, people fighting for folks' rights as things are getting nastier and nastier and we're sliding back into the kind of oppressive systems we've always had. And what's sad is just how much the system, the city government, the state government, like how consistent they stay with addressing housing and inequality and racism. But seeing how the people are responding to each other has just been phenomenal. We'll be singing when we're winning. We'll be singing. I get no doubt. Drinking.